You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Schrunker 99.94, where we're going to be discussing how Schrunker did find their limit, and their limit was Sky. I'm Mark Machado from the Merrily End, and I'm joined, as always, by Estelle Vaz, Devin from the Papere. We are Sri Lanka on 99.94. Thank you for watching or listening. Just a quick reminder, please do subscribe. Please leave your comments. If you're watching live on YouTube, then you can leave your comments, and we'll get to them a bit later on in the show. If you're not watching live, if you're listening whenever, then leave your comments wherever you listen to your podcast. Or wherever you're watching this stream, we love to read them and we love to hear what your thoughts are and what we're saying. Estelle, we're talking about the T20i series with India. It started the first match. Probably we were expecting just to be competitive and we missed that narrowly by two runs. The second match, actually, when I look back at it in hindsight, I think we played much better than we were expecting we could play. And then that third game, oh boy, did we get brought back down to earth? We're recording this about 24 hours after the third match started. What are your kind of emotions and thoughts as you woke up this morning after last night's game?
Yeah, I was just saying, looking back at that first game, that, you know, it's a game of such fine margins. There are so many what ifs that you can think back to when you look at that game. That what if Sri Lanka had done so many things differently? We might have walked away with a 2-1 series win, right? And that would have been the first bilateral win over India in India in any format. And just, I mean, I'm not too disappointed with what happened yesterday, because if you look at it, it was just the difference of one player, right? I mean, you can't say Sri Lanka were... I know they lost by 90 runs and were bowled out for 130. But when you're chasing a total like 228, you have to go hard. And inevitably, if you don't get close to the target, you're going to fall way behind. You're going to get bowled out for a much lower total than you expect. So I wasn't too disappointed with yesterday's result or the performance. But just that kind of, you know, you rue what happened in the first game.
Yeah, I think there was a just immediately after the game, I kind of was thinking, that was a really deeply frustrating game to watch. But actually, I just think you can't, you know, Sky is just what he's probably the best hitter of the ball in cricket right now, right? And when he gets into form, when he gets into a groove, when he gets into a mood, as he did yesterday, then I think there's absolutely no, like, there's kind of no stopping him. If we don't get him out early, then, like, he's just going to go on and do what he did yesterday. I thought, actually, our bowlers probably, you know, they were a bit naive at moments and maybe lacked a bit of kind of game guile and maturity. But I kind of want to say they kind of did what I expect them to do. I think, you know, we could go through them individually and go, you know, Madushankar had, in the grand scheme of things, had a great series. Rajatha had a great series. Charmukar, I think there's questions about his, you know, his effectiveness and also when he actually gets the bowl. And then I don't think the spinners, by their really high standards, probably reach the heights that we were expecting them to reach. I think there's two reasons for this. I think the Indian players, the batsmen they were having to bowl against, are probably the best unit in terms of hitting spin. And secondly, I think a lot of those Indian batters have faced a lot of Hasaranga and Tikshana. And the challenge for Hasaranga and Tikshana is to how they're going to develop and how they're going to create plans to get the key wickets and the key moments. But that's kind of for down the line, and I suppose the next step in their careers. I just think that third game, in a way, you kind of got to write it off. When I saw how much they made, I thought there was two ways the Sri Lankan batting was going to go. I thought we were going to get skittled out for like 98, or I thought we were going to try and just kind of hang in there, kind of maybe go at 8-9 runs and over till about the 11th or 12th over, and then from that point on, if we had wickets in hand, go ballistic. We kind of fell somewhere in the middle, I felt, where we tried to go for it at kind of 8-9 and over, and maybe start to pick up, you know, had a kind of decent, it started off the power play quite well, and then we start to lose wickets, and then we kind of let India back in the game, and we win this weird point at about 11th or 12th over, where realistically, unless the Indian bowling attack fell apart, we weren't going to get anywhere near the total, and then we just started throwing wickets away, and I think the team kind of lost itself in the middle there because they didn't really know what to do. Maybe being slightly unwise of me, when I saw the team sheet come out and I saw that Arishka was in and Barnacker had come in to replace him, I put out something that I think I'd said in earlier pods that we've done, that I think maybe it was the right decision to make, because I think the strike rate among the rest of the attack is getting better, among the rest of the batters is getting better, and therefore we don't need to really rely on Barnacker, and his role isn't as important as it was before. And that as a team, we've been maturing, and that maybe that's why you could justify Rishka's place in the side, even though his strike rate wasn't particularly, you know, in T20s, internationals at least, hasn't been particularly high, and his average isn't particularly good. However, I was obviously proved wrong when he got out, four balls into his innings. So he was as effective as Barnacker had been in the last two matches. So there was a lot going on in that game, I thought. And that's kind of, I suppose, my kind of breakdown of what happened. Sorry, Estelle, you must have something to add to that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, just the picking of Avishka, and I know you mentioned his record in T20 cricket. I feel like, yes, he has not done well. He does not have a good strike rate, you know, or a strike rate you would want from a player in international cricket. But I do feel like, you know, we've seen him succeed in ODI cricket, and we've seen how he can strike the ball. So that you know that this guy is capable of playing T20 cricket. And I feel like there's still kind of a window to give him that opportunity to grow into that role. But I do also feel that, I know Mahela Jayawardena, you know, pushed him down to number 4 in the 2021 World Cup, but I do feel like the best place for him to bat is at the top of the order. And that's one of Sri Lanka's biggest problems, right? If you look at that lineup. And I think that's why you have to hang on to players like Barnacker Rajapaksha and Dasun Chanaka, because you don't have number 5 and number 6 batters in Sri Lanka. Everyone you get is most successful in that top 3 or top 4. And Avishka, I mean, I don't know if you can really criticize him. It was one knock, and it's not easy coming in needing 229 to win, right? So, I mean, like you said, you can write this game off. I just feel like this series was the opportunity for the selectors to kind of play around with the batters a little bit, because we don't have, I mean, it's not a T20 World Cup year. You don't have a lot of T20 cricket coming up, and the results aren't, you know, affecting anything. Like, you know, in previous years, we had them affecting your rankings and whether you will qualify for the next World Cup. So, in essence, they don't mean anything, right, these T20s. So, I feel like at that point, they should have, if it was up to me, I think I would have played Vikrama and had Charit Asalanka at number 3 right from the beginning of the series, just to see how they go.
Estelle, let's take a quick break there. We might be having some connection issues. I'm sure they will resolve themselves imminently. When we come back, let's talk about the rest of the series and get a bit more into Sri Lanka's batting woes. If indeed we have batting woes, maybe yesterday was just a bad day. And also at some point we'll talk about the ODI series coming up as well.
I'm Jared Kimber and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, a look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
Yeah, that's right. We do speak cricket. Of course, if you're listening to us, you probably found us somewhere somehow. Please do subscribe on YouTube. I think the subscription button is there. I think it's down there. If you're listening on app, thank you for subscribing. If you're listening on the podcast, please do hit the subscribe button. And of course, leave your comments and leave us a review as well. That'd be great. Estelle, we were talking about Sri Lanka's batting woes. Avishka came into the lineup yesterday. I don't think it was a huge surprise to us that Barnacker had been dropped. I think maybe if you don't play as close attention to the Sri Lanka side as we do, obviously it's part of our jobs to do it, then you might have been surprised. But they are other people pushing for that spot. If you bring Avishka in, though, does he have to open? And in that case, it's basically at this stage, I think it's impossible to break up the Mendes-Nisanka opening pair, right? Because they've actually been reasonably successful for quite a while now.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan of Pathum Nisanka, but I feel that, like I said, this series or the T20s we play this year aren't really that important. So maybe it is also time to have, you know, try out some other players in those roles. So when I say try out or leave out a player, I don't mean, you know, get rid of them and never look at them again or whatever, right? You know, your first choice, like Bhanukar Rajapaksha is a first choice player for Sri Lanka. But it's always good to have a kind of a backup player in case he's going through a bad patch. Like we spoke about, I think, in the previous episode, right? Sri Lanka play, the number of games we play a year means that you can't really be giving players like 10, 15 games in a row if they are failing continuously. You need to change things up and see what's working for you. And I am a big believer of playing players who are in form, because there's no point keeping them on the bench and then bringing them in maybe on a tough tour, or, you know, months after they've had any like in competitive cricket, right? So I think, I mean, Pathum Nisanka has
I think,
been good.
The other thing we need to look at is what is the role of the LPL, right? Because coming out at the LPL, if you look at Dustin Charnocker and you look at Bhanukar Rajapaksa, neither of them have really had a particular good tournament. They both in the T20 sides for at least the first two games. Charnocker is, you know, he's the captain. He plays captain's knocks. He's absolutely phenomenal for the first two games, at least. And even the third game yesterday, I thought he did kind of all right. Bhanukar brings his LPL form straight into the team, and he's kind of just struggling for form in the side as well. When there are players, you know, you mentioned Sidera before we had a break, who did really well in the LPL and you know, got taken on tour, but didn't really get a look in terms of T20s at least. So you kind of got to, and this is something I suppose we discussed all the way through the LPL as well, is what is the role of that tournament? Is it, you know, in some ways develop players, but, you know, if you just look at the raw data, then there was absolutely no reason why Bhanukar would ever start in that tournament in the recent T20s after the tournament he's had, but he did. So I think, you know, these are all questions we're going to have to ask ourselves later down the road. It's kind of moot though, right? Because they've got a few T20s against New Zealand. And then I don't think there's nothing in the diary till we get to 2024, right?
Yeah, I mean, and even if there were more T20s this year, seeing as your focus is going to be ODI cricket, right? I don't see a problem in them, you know, moving a few players around. It playing well, okay, for I'm just using Pathum Nisanka as an example, right? Like 2021, 22, he's played really well. He's opened well. He's had a few good knocks. I think the more the others kind of up their scoring rate, the more he gets found out because he seems to get stuck in the middle. Whereas when the other players were not getting runs, he was kind of the guy who was getting all the attention because he was getting the runs, right? But that doesn't mean that he must then play in the 2024 World Cup or he must open in the 2024 World Cup. You have to be a bit more flexible, I feel, particularly in positions like his where there are so many players competing for that position, right? I mean, I understand that stability is very important and that's, I think, one of the biggest strengths of Dasun Shanaka's tenure so far is that he's backed players to the hilt, right? He's guys like Dhananjay De Silva, Bhanka Rajapaksha, he's really backed them, even the bowlers, he's backed them to get, like, to come good even when they've been in bad form, which is great. And that's something that Sri Lanka lacked in the past, where you were chopping and changing all of the time. But I do also feel that you have to have your options open. You have to be a bit flexible where you feel, if you feel sometimes players who are out of form, you keep playing them, it actually does them more harm than good, right? And I don't know whether I'm reading into this and I hate when people comment on like body language, but just watching Bhanu Rajapaksha in this first and second T20s, he just seemed out of it, right? I mean, usually he does have kind of a presence in the field where he's talking to the bowlers. He has that leadership role in the field, but we didn't really notice that either. So maybe he's just going through a patch where he needs a bit of a break. He needs to kind of center himself and get back into, you know, focusing on what he wants to do. So sometimes you have to be a bit flexible and you have to, there's nothing wrong with having other options, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, I think we might be having a few internet issues. Let's take another quick break. When we come back, hopefully our internet issues will be sorted. And we'll also look ahead to this ODI series as well.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI, we've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
We'll have a look at a few of the comments in a few moments. We've not got a huge amount of time left. Firstly, thank you for watching or listening as well. Estelle, let's talk about this ODI series. It's another chance to win a bilateral series in India, only days after we lost the last one. But I suspect Sri Lanka might be a totally different proposition in ODI cricket because there isn't this pressure on strike rate that there is in T20 cricket. And I quite fancy our bowlers over longer spells to be a little bit more inventive. So I think we might, I think we caused them a lot of problems, the T20s. I think we can cause them a few more problems in ODIs. What do you think?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think I feel that the ODIs might be a bit tougher, particularly because India have got, you know, their key players coming back into the side. They've got Bumrah coming in, Rohit and Virat Kohli as well. So there might be a tougher preposition, but like, I think Sri Lanka would have taken a lot of confidence from the T20 series. They haven't done as badly as a lot of people expected, I think, because
who was it who, someone told me, you know, people are excited about this series, which never happens to Sri Lanka, India, because, you know, it's kind of, it's usually kind of a walkover type thing, right? But the performance Sri Lanka were able to put together in the T20s mean that, you know, just looking back over the last 18 months, 2 years, you can see how far this team has come. It's not a different set of guys, right? It's the same set of guys. But suddenly, you're not going into a series thinking, oh no, they're going to be pushovers, you know, this, they're going to get blown away. Or at least that's not what you think going into T20 series. I think that ODI series is going to be a lot tougher, but Sri Lanka will want to put in a very good performance because it's their three opportunities to kind of get a bit of insight into what the World Cup might offer. And like I said, during the last episode, right? Like testing yourself against the best teams in the world is the only way you're going to get better. Sri Lanka have done well. I mean, even when we did well in the 2021 World Cup, right? If you really look at the numbers, the teams that we beat, we were expected to beat. And we lost against the teams that we would have wanted to win against. Similarly, in 2022 as well. So just testing yourself against the best teams in the world is the only way these guys like Kasaranga, Tishan are going to get better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Estelle, I think I might be losing you. I think the main point that both you, me and you are trying to make, though, is that we're possibly better suited to ODI cricket. We need to become a little bit competitive. We're really enjoying watching this squad grow and develop. Let's wrap this up. But before we wrap this up, let's look at some of the comments that have come in. Darmalingam has obviously the first comment that catches my eye. Walala Gay, straight swap for Karuna Ratna. I think that's probably quite likely, though I suspect at some point in the near future we're going to have to talk about Charmica Estelle, because he's had quite a last few months. He can't get himself out the headlines, sometimes good, sometimes bad. Sometimes you just don't know what to think. And then there's quite a few kind of pro and anti-DDS comments as well. Pratik is, I think he's trying to start a DDS fan club, possibly out in India as well, which is quite good. And then obviously there's lots of people saying how great Surya Kumar Yadav is, who is definitely going to give a man who's given me nightmares for the next probably 6 months, thinking I'm pretty sure that if India was, if it wasn't a T20, if it was a test match, he'd probably just be out there still batting and Sri Lanka still would be struggling to get him out and he'd be over 600 runs or something with a strike rate of 200 or something crazy like that. Estelle, I think we'll leave it there. Loads more to come from us over the next few days as the ODI series starts and develops. I'm looking forward to it. Estelle, can I get a prediction for you from the series? What do you think the final score will be? Oh, I can see your lips moving, but I can't hear what you're saying, which is probably a good thing. I think that's a good thing because it means that I don't need to give a prediction, which means that I won't have egg on my face when it all goes wrong and it all looks bad. Guys, we'll leave it there.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.